We continue on learning Le'ilui Nishmas David ben Menachem Rosh Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyo and Tzvi Hirsch ben Shraga Feivel. We are in the final Mishnah of Maseches Ksuvos, Perek Yud Gimel, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Hakol Malin Le'eretz Yisrael, which means a person has the right to force his entire family to move to Israel with him. And that's true even from a Nava Yafef to Nava Hara, even from the neighborhood of place where it's another Yaf, as we explain, it's a place where things are, let's say, cheaper, to a place where things are more expensive, a neighborhood that's a little bit more upscale, to a neighborhood that's not so upscale. And the same thing is true from a city that's Ruba Yisrael to Ruba Nachrim, even from a city that's a majority living in Chutz La'aretz and a city that's a majority of Jews, to a city in Eretz Yisrael, it's a majority of non-Jews. Everyone has that right to force. And of course, when it comes to marriage, we'll see that has to do with the fact if they refuse, the husband has the right to divorce his wife without a ksuba. And if the husband refuses to join the wife, she has the right to demand a get and demand her ksuba. So Hakol Malin Eretz Yisrael, but the Ein Hakol Motzin, which means a person does not have the right to take his wife or family against their will out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Hakol Malin Yushalayim, person who lives with his family anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, is able to force his family to come with him to Yushalayim to live there. Under the same circumstances, where even to another Ra, or even to where there are, let's say there's a majority of Jews in where you were living in that particular city, now moving to Yushalayim, even if it's a majority of non-Jews. They not call Motzian, and a person is not permitted to take his family against their will out of Yushalayim to another place in Eretz Yisrael. And says the Mishnah, Echad ha'anoshim ve'echad ha'anoshim. This is true for the husband or the wife can force one another to Eretz Yisrael or to Yushalayim. As we said, if a woman refuses to come, she leaves Teitzei B'lo Ksuva, and if the husband refuses to come, then he's chayv to divorce her and give her the Ksuva. And some have a girsa in our Mishnah, Ve'echad Ha'avadim, which means the person has the right to force his Eved Ivri to come with him as well. And the same thing, he can't force him to come with him to Chutz La'aretz. But an Eved cannot force his master to come to Eretz Yisrael. And that's according to one girsa. And there are those who do not have that girsa. And when they say Hakol Malin La'aretz Yisrael, that itself, meaning even without the girsa of Echad Ha'avadim, the phrase Hakol Malin, what's Hakol? Hakol comes to include Avadim, which is an Eved Ivri. Either way, that halacha of an Eved applies whether you have that girsa, the extra word, Echad Avadim, or you just derive it from the phrase, from the word Hakol. Then the Mishnah continues, Nasa Isha Be'eretz Yisrael, the girsa So the halach is if a man marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael and divorces in Eretz Yisrael, so the ksuva should be paid from coins from Eretz Yisrael. Let's say today would be paid in shkalim. But let's say nasa isha be'eretz Yisrael, the gerish be'kapotkia. A man marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael, but he divorces her in kapotkia, kaftor in the Torah, not far from Eretz Yisrael. It's a province in Asia Minor, and the coins there were of greater value and weight than the typical currency in Eretz Yisrael. So no se'lam mimos Eretz Yisrael. So he does not have to be the ksuva based on the coins of Kapotkia, but rather from Eretz Yisrael. So that means when we talk about 200 zuz, whatever it may be, or 200 coins, 200 silver coins, so he has the right to use that currency of Eretz Yisrael and that value, and not the most from Kapotkia. That's what the Mishnah says. Then the Mishnah says, Nasa Isha Bikapotka Bikapotkia Vigersha Eretz Yisrael, Nosi Lami Eretz Yisrael. And if he gets married, let's say in Kapotkia, where the currency is greater, the weight of the coins are greater, but divorces on Eretz Yisrael, he also has the right to give her Mos Eretz Yisrael. Either way, whether he gets married in Eretz Yisrael and divorces her in Kapotkia, or gets married in Kapotkia and divorces in Eretz Yisrael, either way, he can give Mos Eretz Yisrael for the value of the ksuva. And the Gemara explains why. Because according to the Tanakhama, at least here, the ksuva is only a din derabbanan. The ksuva midaraisa. There is no halacha, no pasuk in the Chumash that speaks about giving a woman a ksuva. It's a takana derabbanan. Rabbanon. So it's not kala lahutzia. It's not a husband's not so quick to divorce his wife, realizing that that there's a financial obligation if he does so. So therefore, they made a takana, 100 zuz for an almana, 200 zuz for a besua. But it's only the Rabbanon anyway. So therefore, the chachamim were makil or lenient when it comes to the payment. And therefore, even if he marries a woman in kapotkia, which is where the chiyuv of the ksuva really set in, with Moes Kapotkia, nonetheless, since he divorced her Eretz Yisrael, he gives her from Moes Eretz Yisrael. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, no sein lam mimos Kapotkia. Now, in the case where he marries the woman Kapotkia, even though he divorces her Eretz Yisrael, you have to give her from the Moes Kapotkia. That's when that insurance policy was established. That's where you got married. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel holds, Ksuva is midoraisa, and since it's midoraisa, it should follow every other debt, every other obligation, where we follow the makom hashibud. This is where the lien was upon the husband's property the moment that they got married. So whatever the coins were at that time, kapotkia, so that obligation is there. This is where do we see ksuva doraisa, based on the psukim hashas mishpatim, that there we the Torah speaks about 50 shekel for the case of mefateh. And the Torah uses the language in Shmos Perachav Beis, Pasuk, Tezvav v'chi yifateish b'sula asher lo orasa v'shachavima mohorim hareno lo l'isha. So the language is giving the value of the dowry. Im ba'en ma'en aviha l'sitalo kesef yishkol kimor ha'b'sulos. What are you paying? You're paying shekel, a kesef, and we know that from Ones, which is 50 shekel, kimor ha'b'sulos, which is the typical dowry that's given for a besula. How much is that? So that's 50 shekels. 50 shekels is 200 zuz, is 200 dinar. So therefore, we do have a Torah source for that, and therefore, since ksuv is doraisa, you give her for most kapotkia. Nasa isha b'kapotka, b'kapotkia, v'gerisha b'kapotkia, no sein lamim bas kapotkia. That everyone agrees with, that if you get married in kapotkia and divorce there as well, certainly you're going to give her for most kapotkia. Rambam says, Wadi mentioned kapotkia, it could have been anywhere, but that's because it's close to Eretz Yisrael. Now that is the conclusion of Maseches Ksuvos. We begin Maseches Nedarim, just by way of introduction. There are, when we speak about Nedarim, the Torah speaks about Nedarim in several places. We speak about Nedarim in Parshas Kisese. We speak about that there's a prohibition of Baal Ta'acher. Lo ta'acher l'shalamo, a person that has a certain amount of time to pay back a neder, that's we assume certain nedarim, which includes karbonos as well. A nazir is a type of neder, that's the next mesechta, and it says, kisidur neder l'ashem elokecha lo ta'acher l'shalamo, motzas v'asecha tishmor, we have to observe, guard the words that come out of our mouth, v'asisa, kashen adat l'ashem elokecha, and the different types of nedarim that we have, we assume a neder is an iser, what we call an iser, chetza. A neder is taken on an object as opposed to a shvua, which is an action that a person takes upon themselves, either they're going to do or they're not going to do. Neder is where a person prohibits a certain item upon him as a karbon. It's just like a karbon is usher to a person, so too, where a neder assumes that this object is going to be usher to me just like a karbon is usher to me. So we're going to speak about what's known as an ikar neder, yad haneder, and kinuy haneder. Let's explain each of them. Ikar neder is where you have a person who expresses the entire neder. So that's where a person says, let's say, davar zeh yehe olai kekarbon. This particular object should be usher to me. The object has almost kedusha that takes hold upon it. It's matvis nidro bedavar hanadur. He has something that potentially that you can make a neder upon. There are certain things that are already usher to you, taking a neder upon a pig already, so that's already usher to you. So that's now, it has to be something davar hanadur, something where potentially that normally you can use. And now it's going to be seized with this particular prohibition, and it's going to be usher like a carbon. That's the ikar haneder. Then there's the yad haneder. Yad haneder is where the person who takes the neder does not express the entire neder, just partial. Just like the yad is the handle of a cup. I can pick up the whole cup by just holding onto the handle. So here as well, let's say a person says to his friend, mudreni mimcha sha'ani ochelach. He doesn't. He says, you know, the food that you have, I'm taking a neder upon myself that it's usher to me. He didn't say it's usher like a carbon. He left that out. He just said, mudreni mimcha, I'm taking a neder, sha'ani yochal, whatever I eat of yours is going to be prohibited to me. And even without mentioning a carbon, that's called a yad, and a yad haneder, and that also will be effective, just like an ikar haneder is going to be effective. And then this kinui haneder, kinui is like a nickname. This is where the noder does express the entire neder, but instead of using the word carbon, he uses a word that can substitute for the word carbon. A word we may know from Kol Nidre, let's say, is the word konam. Konam sounds a little bit like carbon, and we'll see why that word, and maybe some other words were chosen. So someone says, konam alai kikar zeh. This loaf of bread is a konam upon me. It means that it should be also to be like a carbon. That's also a neder. So a yad neder is considered like a neder, and a yad neder is like a neder as well. And the Mishnah is going to discuss that over here. So it says the Mishnah, Kol kinuye nedarim kinedarim. Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph from nedarim. All kinui nedarim. This is where a person, kinui, as we said, is where he uses a word, let's say konam, in place of carbon, to prohibit a particular item upon himself. So so says the Mishnah, that's true when it comes to kinui nedarim. And the Gemara says there's something missing in the Mishnah. Chisuri machasra, the word's missing, we have to include in the Mishnah as well, Kol yados nedarim kinedarim. The Mishnah should also include a phrase that says not only are the nicknames kinuy nedarim, where I use the word konam instead of carbon, but even a yad neder, where I leave the word carbon off completely. That's also has the status of a neder. And then the Mishnah says vacharamim kacharamim. And when it comes to a kinuy of a cherim is where a person is makdish something. He makes something hektish. So whether it goes to the Beis HaMikdash or it goes to the Kohanim, we'll discuss that at some point. That's what we call cherem. It's discussed in Parshas Bechukosai. So a person makes something a cherem, that's also he's donating something. So even if he uses a kinui, a word that would take the place substitute for the word cherem, assuming it's a word that people typically use as a nickname, so that is also going to have the status of a cherem. And the object that he's now giving as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash or to Kohanim will indeed be endowed with that kedusha. Ushvuos kishvuos. A person who has a kinui shvua, it uses a word that takes the place of the word shvua, substitutes for that word, just like the word konam substitutes for the word carbon. We'll see that words that substitute for the word shvua, let's say. The same thing would be true when he takes a shvua. Shvua, as we said, is when you take an oath, but that's on an action. A person is going to do something or says he's not going to do something. So those also have the status of a full shvua. Unizirus kinizirus. And a person who takes it upon himself to become a nazir, but doesn't use the word nazir, but rather he uses another word that substitutes for the word nazir that people understand means he's becoming a nazir, they say it has the status of nazirus. So what are the yados, nedarim, that are like nedarim? What are those words? Yad, remember we said, is where you don't even use the word carbon at all. You take a neder, you don't say this object is going to be usher like a carbon. We just said, you said something, you just mudreni mimcha, then ashani ochela. So the Mishnah says like this, Homer lachavero mudarni mimach, I'm taking a neder from you, mufrashni mimach, I'm separating myself from you, miruchakni mimach, I'm distancing myself from you, she'eni ochelach, she'eni toam lach, and in what way, meaning he uses the phrase, I'm distancing, separating, or taking a neder, and he says, from what? She'eni ochelach, I'm not going to eat any of your food. She'eni toam lach, I'm not going to taste any of your food. So if he says, mudarni mimach, she'eni, or she'ani ochelach, which means the same thing, or mudarni mimach, she'eni, or she'ani toam lach, or he uses language of mefresheni, let's say, Asru, in all of these cases, the person cannot get benefit now from his friend, as if he took a regular full neder that your food should be asru to me like a carbon. Minuda ani lach. Let's say a person says to his friend, I am minuda from you. Now, we may know the word minuda like nidui. Nidui is being excommunicated, like being put in a cherem. So what if you say minuda ani lach? Is that like taking a neder that there's certain items from your friend are going to be prohibited to you? Rabbi Akiva haya chochech bazeh lahachmir. He would chochech, means he would hesitate, put his lips together and wonder about it, but thought we should be strict in such a case. Because there's a suffix. This is really a doubtful language. Minudani lach, is that muruchakein mimcha, like I'm distancing myself from you, and therefore there's an edir here. Or maybe nidu just means, no, this is being excommunicated. This is another word completely, and that's I'm excommunicating myself from you, but that doesn't mean that I'm taking an edir. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva was machmir misafek, just in case it has the language of an edir, and you shouldn't get hana from your friend. What about kinidre rishoim? Let's say the person who made an eder added on the phrase, the expression kinidre rishoim, like the nedarim of the wicked. Or, and the Mishnah says, nadar binazir uver karbon uver shvua. So what does the Mishnah mean? He took a neder by nazir, by karbon, and shvua. So the Mishnah is saying here, if a person, I'm taking a neder of evil people, of wicked people. So the Mishnah says that neder is going to be chal, whether he's taking a neder of being a nazir, whether he's taking a neder of prohibiting something upon himself of his friend that's like a karbon, or whether he's taking upon himself a shvur, an oath. So what exactly does the Mishnah mean? What does it mean, like the nedarim of wicked people, and why is that effective? So the Gemara explains what happening is like this. Take, for example, a nazir is walking by someone, and this person says, aha, hareini kinidre rishoyim. I want to be like the neder, take upon myself like the neder of wicked people. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that this is considered the acceptance of nazirus. Or let's say an animal is walking by and he says, you know, kinidre rishoyim alai. I want to take upon myself, see this animal walking by? I want a neder like the rishoyim take upon themselves. I want that to be upon myself as well. So that's considered a neder of a karbon. Or let's say there was a loaf of bread in front of him and he says, kinidre rishoyim shalo ochal mimena. Remember, shavua is a language of action. So I'm not going, or not, or inaction. I'm not that it's an iser cheftza, but it's an iser gavra on the person. I'm not going to be eating, I take a neder like the wicked people, I'm not eating from that loaf of bread. So what we're coming to tell you, that all of these cases, he has taken upon himself either to be a nazir, or that this animal is a karbon, or that this, or that he's not permitted to eat from this loaf of bread, that's an iser shvua. Why? What does nidre rishoyim mean? It's an expression that he wants his neder to be chal, to take effect, or shvua to take effect. Why? Because it's the derech of rishoyim, it's the manner of, it's the behavior of the wicked to make nidarim and to take shvuos. Tzadikim generally do not do that. So nidre rishoyim is a language of, yes, I do indeed want to take a neder upon myself. Kinidre ksherim, lomar klum. But let's say he added on to his neder, I'm taking a neder kinidre ksherim, like people who are kosher, then lomar klum, because ksherim don't take a neder. That would not be effective, because that doesn't make any sense. Ksherim do not take nedarim or shavuos. Kinidvosam. Let's say, though, he added on to his neder, not kinidre ksherim, but kinidvos ksherim, like nidavos, like donations of ksherim, then nadar binazir uvikarbon. What does that mean? So let's say he said, hareini nazir kinidvos ksherim, not kinidre ksherim, but kinidvos ksherim. I take upon myself to be a nazir, like the nidavos, like the donations of people who are kosher. Then indeed he is a nazir. Why? Because there are ksherim who occasionally will become a nazir l'shem shamayim, or let's say when it comes to karbon. Let's say an animal is walking by and he says, you know what, the first case, let's say, is where a nazir is walking by. Or here now, maybe even not, but here an animal is walking by and he says, this animal should be kinidvos ksherim, like donations of ksherim. That's considered a nedava of a karbon. Why? Because although ksherim are careful not to make nedarim, because why? What's the problem with an eder? When it comes to an animal, making an eder means that I'm chayv ba'achrayus. If something happens to the animal, Hare olai is a neder on an animal. That means I take upon myself, I will bring an animal. I don't say any particular animal. So if something happens to the animal I eventually designate, and then I have to bring another animal. So that kshirim I try to avoid. But kshirim do make nedavos, because you don't get yourself into trouble when it comes to those, because you designated this animal, harezu, and a dove of an animal is harezu, this is a karbon. And if anything else to the animal, so then you don't have to replace it because you said harezu. So you don't get yourself into trouble. So kshirim will make nedavos when it comes to animals. So once again, kinidre kshirim, if you say I'm going to be a nazir like nidvos kshirim, that's fine. Kinidre kshirim, no. But kinidvos kshirim, yes. And the same thing when it comes to karbanos. Kinidve ksherim, it's going to be considered a karbon. And that's because the people do bring, ksherim do bring nedavos. But if, let's say, you added on to your shvua, we were just speaking about nazir and karbon. What about you added on to your shvua, kinidvos ksherim? That's nothing. Because ksherim don't take shvuos ever. That's a shvuas they don't take. So why? Because what kind of shvua is a shvua that a kashya would want to take? When it comes to a neder, so a nazir is a type of neder. So sometimes a person wants to take upon himself the kedusha of nazirus, that's okay. So you can say kinidvos ksherim. And certainly when it comes to karbanos. But shvuos, absolutely not. And therefore, even kinidvos ksherim would not work if it was followed after saying a comment about taking upon oneself an oath, a shvuah.